I never been to Spain, but I kinda like the music. See, the ladies are insane there, and they sure know how to use it.
Back on Downtown, it's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, Downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Richard. Tell me where you got up to 88 miles an hour in the Bangor area.
88 miles an hour?
I saw the picture. You and the ladies. I'm like, okay. Is it that you need to go back to the future because Carrie's leaving you?
Yes.
You need to go back to 7 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel the need to go back to 1985. I think that was a good year, although it's a little blurry, the 80s.
Well, that's what I've heard from a lot of people. I was 8.
Oof. So, oh, ouch.
I mean, it was, I guess, blurry, but only because I was just getting used to it.
I thought
glasses.
You were referring to my youthful countenance, not my Back to the Future themed t-shirt.
I dig the t-shirt, though, in all fairness. I dig the t-shirt. Well, hi everybody. I hope everyone is well out there in Radio Land. I grow sadder and sadder every time you all mention Carrie's imminent departure. But I'm going to try and not weep my way through this segment. But man, I hate change. I hate change. I fear change. So we're as Rich mentioned, we're hitting Spain. And we're going to try and get all of Spain and Portugal in quickly because I guess there's so much new wine regions to discuss that we've kind of lagged behind. So let's start quickly. Let's start in Catalonia. Catalonia, for those who don't realize, is sort of the upper northeastern corner of Spain. It does technically go into France, what they call the Côte Catalane, and it has been, you know, many differing countries, including its own country over the years, and certainly part of the French empires, the Spanish empires, other empires. It's got its own indigenous language, not indigenous, but its own language. So if you go on holiday to Catalonia, specifically Barcelona, but other places around there, you'll notice that it's not Spanish that is on the first language on any official placards or anything like that. It is Catalan. It is a region that is very fiercely independent, and of course, I'm sure anybody who keeps notes on news has seen that they have sought their own independence several times in the past couple decades, and even at least one time, if not twice, that I can remember, in the past decade itself. As I said, it centers on Barcelona. That is, it's the Spain's second largest city, second to Madrid, of course. But it is uniquely its own place. Anyone who's ever been there can tell you that. And the wine region is not specifically there, but we're talking sort of just outside it and going west along the coast as well as inland. The most famous wine made in Catalonia is cava. Cava is not specifically part of Catalonia. You can make cava, which is, by the way, Spain's sparkling wine, the answer to champagne, made in exactly the same way. You can make it anywhere in Spain, but the fact of the matter is that 98% of it all gets made in Catalonia, in a place called Sant Sadurní de Noia, and that is where Freixenet is, Cordonnier, and a bunch of other smaller houses. The region itself is called the Penedès, and even just today I had a wonderful still wine from this region. You're getting a lot of people who are trying to bring out the three main grapes of this region, Charello, Macabeo, and Pareada, and sort of bring them to the fore in their own right. Moving on quickly, because we have to, Moving to the west of there, we encounter the regions of Priorat and Molsat. Basically, imagine an upside-down horseshoe, and you've got a good idea. And on the inside of the horseshoe is Priorat, very, very steep slopes, really kind of vertigo-inducing, wonderful, wonderful, very deep, intense red wines from there. And on the outside, you have Molsat, which has wonderful granitic soils, almost similar to Beaujolais. So you get a little bit more vibrancy, similar grapes, but just a completely different aesthetic, as long as the winemakers in Molsat are not just trying to make baby Priorats and making overripe nonsense, which it does tend to happen. But worth checking out both of those regions. The other region I wanted to talk about really quickly before we get into sort of some of the interior of Spain is something that I haven't really talked about a lot, which is Sherry. So now we're moving all the way down to the bottom tip of Spain into what we call Andalusia. This is, right at the mouth of the Mediterranean Sea. There's a couple of distinct regions, but Sherry is a very sort of misunderstood wine, and yes, they do make dry wines here, but we're not really going to touch on those right now. Sherry is a very interesting, strange, almost, in my mind, too varied a wine, ranging from very, very dry and kind of hard to get your head around to kind of sweet and port-like, which is much easier to get your head around, which is why no one can get their head around the whole thing of Sherry. First of all, Sherry, the word Sherry comes from an Anglicanization of Jerez, which is the region, the appellation, if you will. And it is primarily made out of the grape Palomino, although you do have other grapes, Pedro Jimenez and Moscatel, which are made into sherries that are called that and are different in their own right, just serving to confuse everybody more. But for the basic sherries, the dry sherries, the driest of which is called Fino, F-I-N-O, and that's probably the one if you're being told to put like a dash of sherry in maybe a chowder you have or something like that, that's probably what you're going to use is Fino. And then you get up into some beefier types, still made out of the Palomino grape, that are all aged in what's called a solera. So basically, you're taking young wines, you allow them to mature fully, but then you also hit them with a neutral spirit, A, to kill the yeast entirely, and B, to beef up the alcohol a little bit. And then you put them in a series of barrels, over time, the natural yeasts that are still around develop what's called flor, F-L-O-R, which is sort of a layer of this natural yeast on top of this fortified wine. And then you basically continually take that wine and drain it into barrels that hold even older wine, older wine, and older wine. So it's a mix of vintages. This is called a Solera method. And then you're drawing wines from that to sell to people. And you can tell people what sort of the maximum and minimum age of those wines is. And it's kind of like tasting history, which I think is really cool. But there's that. And then the other wines that I had mentioned, the Moscatel and Pedro Jimenez, are also these fortified wines from Sherry. And technically, they're also considered Sherry, but they're not close to dry. They're not close to that sort of oxidized thing. They have a much more ripe, exuberant, like I said, I hate to say port-like because it's a little different, but sort of ripe, sweet effect. So there's a lot going on in Sherry. I highly recommend if anyone ever gets to like do a Sherry tasting, check it out because there's a lot going on. I think I'm out of time, so next week we'll talk about my favorite, the Tempranillo Belt and the Frenchianization of Spain. And in the meantime, everybody take care. And I'll chat with you next week.
That sounds like a fine plan. Thank you, Eric. We'll see you then.
All righty. Be well.
Eric May of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Message in the bottle. every Tuesday afternoon.